Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want you to turn with me to your Bibles, and I want to share with you some really good scripture, some thoughts, some points. I got 3 points and tons of scripture. I don't know how far I get, but I promise you it'll be strong. Say amen. And so go with me to the book of Colossians. And if you didn't get a message out when you walked in, lift your hands. Ushers will give that to you. Points to my message, well, as the verses I'll be reading with you. And I will go ahead and you can stand with me for the reading of God's word. Why don't you stand to your feet with me? Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. And we are going to read here these verses, particular verses, where Paul is encouraging the church in Colossae. And I believe Paul would say this to us on Thanksgiving Eve as we are preparing to be thankful for all who God is. Someone say who he is, not just what he does. And so we're thankful what God does, but I think we need to be grateful for who he is. It's two big different things. How many know? Come on, ladies, where you at? Come on, all right? Ladies, if your husband is only grateful for what you do, how many going to be mad? Okay? I want you to love me for who I am. Come on, somebody, all right? Okay, I don't just say thank you to my wife when she makes me the bomb steak that she makes. I say thank you, honey, for being who you are, because the steak is from the overflow of the essence of your good heart. Say amen. And so I believe the Holy Spirit would say this to us. Colossians 2 and 4 through 7, the Bible says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And I believe this is so true in the cultural context in which we live in, that we live in a very cultural context that has great arguments against the things of God. It sounds good, but it's not doctrinal. It's not biblically correct. It looks good on a tweet, on a post, but it's not doctrinally correct. Verse 5, for though I am absent, Paul says, from the body, in you in body, I am present with you in the spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm in your faith in Christ is. And he's like, man, I'm so happy to see you serving God, that you're thirsty for God. You're not thirsty for the world. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be thirsty for the world. Just say that. Come on. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, he says, continue to live your lives in him. And here's the power verse, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with what? With what? What are you overflowing with? Thankfulness. I want to talk today on a message I've entitled Grateful. Grateful. Remember I said it? Like, you're full of gratitude. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, your presence, your Holy Spirit. All this service, God, has already been covered with prayer. We've taken communion. So powerful. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, Father, that you've forgiven us. Thank you that the blood guards us, that the blood gives us life, and that the blood speaks a better word, Lord, that we have a future, Holy Spirit. So speak to us tonight in the time that we have as we reflect on gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Come on, you may be seated. Give the neighbor a high five, and let's jump into this thought really quick, all right? Thank you for actually welcome all those who will listen to us on our podcast, and tune in with us in Jesus' name. Now, let me start right here. Isn't it interesting that sometimes it feels like the world we live in is just grumpy? You know, don't point, okay? I didn't say tell me who grumpy is, okay? I said sometimes doesn't it feel like we live in a world that is just grumpy? Or as the young people say, hashtag savage. Come on, just a savage world. Like, chill out. Savage, man, no filter, you know? But sometimes it feels like we live in a world that is just so grumpy. And it can feel that way, you know, where it's just like every day it seems like someone's always mad, you know, like someone's always waking up on the wrong side of the bed, even though you slept on the other side of the bed that night, the other side of the bed, everybody's always all grumpy, you know, and that could take place. It's kind of like the woman who was in marriage counseling, and she says she had a problem with her husband. And so the marriage counselor asked her, she says, when you wake up, do you wake up grouchy? And she says, no, I just let him sleep in. Tough crowd. Savage. Come on, somebody. Just tell me to say savage. That was savage. No filter, right? But, you know, kind of seems like sometimes the world we live in is always grumpy. It's like always grouchy. And it's like, man, come on. Why are we always so grouchy, you know? And I believe that Paul was speaking to this cultural context of how it's very easy to get in a slump. It's really easy to kind of get in a rut if we're not careful. And so Paul writes this to the church in Colossae, and I believe Paul would write this to us, the church, the believers, the people that are saved, washed by the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, who have the word inside of us, sanctified, set apart, transformed, renewed by the mind in God's perfect will. He would tell you these things, and he would tell you, and he writes them. He says, listen, don't let anybody mess you up with any fine-sounding argument or somehow make you believe that you shouldn't be happy in the marriage you're in, with the family you got, the kids that were given to, oh, Jesus, help me, with the way you look. Don't let anybody put some picture on you that makes you walk any single day not knowing the things that you were taught, that you are rooted in Christ, you are strengthened in your faith, come on, somebody, and you're overflowing with thankfulness. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm grateful. Say, I'm fully great. With gratitude, okay? And so Paul says this, and he's like, listen, guys, we got to overflow with thankfulness. Like, we don't just got to have a little bit of thankfulness. We got to overflow with thankfulness. Like, we got to let it flow. Like tomorrow, let's just be honest. Hashtag, we're all going in. Who's going in tomorrow with me on food? Okay, awesome. God bless you. Some of you are so disciplined on a diet. We love you. I'm going in, all right? And we're going to get overflow full, all right? Like, I'm going to go for that second piece of a pumpkin pie, flan, tres leches, because that's how we do it. All right, I'm going in. I'm going overflowing. But I want us to really have this thought as we go spend time with family. And even if we don't have family, and perhaps your family is broken and dysfunctional, and listen, tonight, this is your family, okay? This is your family, the family of God. And this is a family that you were born into. You're like, no, I'm not. I don't have the same last name as the person to the left and behind me. No, this is your blood family, because the same blood that washed us of our sin washed you of your sin. Come on, somebody, say we're family, amen? And we're blood brothers. What type of blood? We're type Christ, all right? That's the type that we are. We're type B positive. Okay. Some of you are too much B negative. Come on, you need to get saved. But We're blood brothers and sisters. We're family in Jesus' name. And so Paul writes this, and with the time that I have, I want to give you as many points as I possibly can and work this text here. But I want you to write this down. Point number one, and how we can really manage understanding this gratitude and to be overflowing with gratefulness. Write this in. Gratefulness is not my situation. It's my revelation. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Gratefulness is not my situation. It's my revelation. Paul tells the church in Colossae, he says, you are rooted in Christ. You're not grounded in the difficulty that you think you're grounded in. You are not stuck in the rut that you think you're stuck in. You're not stuck in the place that exteriorly looks like you're stuck. Although it looks like you're stuck in this career, in this phase, in this midlife crisis, it looks like you're stuck at this place with your child, your spouse, in your future. You're stuck with this thing. I know it looks like you're stuck, but Paul is saying, I need to remind you that you are not stuck in that situation, but you are rooted in Christ. So get a revelation. Oh, I feel like preaching now. Get a revelation that I'm strengthening my faith. Well, where's my faith? My faith is a revelation. Now, what does it mean by revelation? Revelation, it means to have a vision of where you want to be. God shows you a picture. Tell your neighbor, say, catch a vision. Tell them, say, catch a vision. Okay, catch a vision. He says we're rooted in Christ, we're strengthened in our faith, and we're overflowing with thankfulness. See, if we go backwards on this verse, well, I'll never be overflowing with thankfulness if I'm not strengthened in my faith, because maybe I'm rooted in the wrong thing. Maybe I've been putting my roots in the wrong thing. Maybe tonight God wants to metaphorically uproot you from what you've been planting your life in, and he wants to root you in the things that Jesus wants to put you in. Say amen. So that I can be strengthened in my faith. So dig deep, reach high, overflow with thankfulness. So he says, we need to get a revelation. It is not my, gratitude is not my situation, it's my revelation. It's what I view as what I do have, not in what I don't have. Now, oh Lord Jesus, there's so much I want to say. Help me, Lord. Just pray for me in your thoughts. Let's read this verse. Psalms 50 and verse 23. The Bible says this, "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me, says the Lord. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God." Someone say, stay the path. Say, stay the course. And God is going to show up. Now, our situation will tell us all sorts of things. Your situation will tell you, you know, will reveal to you a lot of stuff. But the truth is, we need to get a revelation, not about my situation, but about my Savior. Because I will reveal to you the salvation of God if you keep the path, if you honor Him, and you live a giving thanks type of sacrifice type of life. Say amen. So I need to get a revelation of the salvation of God, not my situation. And so Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We serve a Savior. And let me tell you, the good news is the Savior that you and I have that died on the cross, and we don't serve a dead God, but a God that rose again. And I heard the worship leader say, Happy Easter. He wasn't confused, because let's just thank God for Thanksgiving that He rose again. Say amen. I was about ready to say what I'm saying. No, man, let's be thankful for the resurrection. Praise God, you know. I'm thankful. I need to get a revelation that my salvation is near. God often told people this all the time. He would say, for the kingdom of God is near. I'm right here. God, He said, I'm right here. But I'm freaking, God says, I'm right here. We're going to walk this together if you keep to my path. If you give thanks and honor me. Jesus' first sermon in Matthew chapter 5, it was actually the Beatitudes, was Jesus' first sermon. If you want to read Jesus' first sermon, you go to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's His first sermon. It was 3 chapters long. That's why I never feel bad for preaching a long sermon. Jesus preached 3 chapters, okay? I'm just preaching a couple verses. Chill out. Morning to night. They were there all night, okay? And Jesus' first message, this is what He says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. If you were to ever ask, I mean, this is the first thing He's going to talk about. How many know that's important? Like, this is Jesus' first message. He's taking the pulpit. Probably had a good piano player, and I'm joking. He's about to take the pulpit. And He's about to talk about the kingdom. And He says this in verse number 3. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Then He goes on and says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And if you keep on reading, He keeps talking about this, like, anomaly. Wait a minute. Time out. What are you talking about, Jesus? Blessed are those who mourn? That doesn't make sense. If I'm mourning, I don't feel blessed. Like, you're getting off the wrong foot here, Jesus. You're going to lose the crowd. But what was Jesus talking about? Oh, He was talking about, it's not your situation. It's where your revelation is. Come on, man. He says, blessed are when you mourn. He says, you want to know why? Because when you have a reason to cry, you have a reason to thank God that a Savior is about to show up. Oh, God. Oh. When you have a reason to feel like God's not there, He says, you catch a revelation that your gratitude, your God is not stuck to any circumstance, any situation, but my God is able, come on somebody, and I am blessed and I'm thankful. Oh Lord, help me, Jesus. All right. He says, you're blessed when your situation looks poor. He says, the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. You're like, well, when I'm broke, I don't feel blessed, Lord. Blessed is not your situation, it's your revelation. Situation looks mournful, catch a revelation that you will be comforted. When your situation looks meek, catch a revelation that you will inherit God's promises. When your situation looks hungry, catch a revelation that you shall be filled. When your situation requires mercy, catch a revelation that He will receive mercy. When your situation is trying to pollute your heart, catch a revelation that if you choose to live holy, you shall see God. If your situation is people persecuting you, you're about to walk into a lion's den tomorrow because you're
you're the only Christian, you've been going to church, and you haven't been hanging out with a family on Sunday because you've been serving, and you're like all Miss Churchy, you're all Mr. Bible Thumper. If those who persecute you get your revelation that great is your reward in heaven, for you are blessed. Somebody clap like you got a revelation.
Just touch three people and say, I'm blessed, you're blessed, we're all blessed. But I ain't got no job. But I had to get the chicken, not a turkey, and tell my kids it's going to be turkey tomorrow from Costco. But I got this sickness. I didn't quite have the year I thought I was going to have. Blessed. I just feel I got to end right there. I'm blessed. Tomorrow, make a list that you're blessed. Because gratitude is not my situation. It's my revelation. He says, when you're rooted, you're strengthened in the faith, you're going to overflow with what? Thankfulness. It's all right. We're learning it. It's okay. We're going to overflow with what? Okay. So if I'm rooted in Christ and I'm truly strengthened in the faith, then the manifestation of my roots and my faith is. So if I don't have thankfulness, where's my faith? Where's my roots? Okay. The sign of a mature believer, okay, I'll give you the other points when you come to church next time. But the sign of a mature believer, at the end of the day, I'll close with 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and you can stand to your feet. Let's read it. We're going to pray. Let me get the worship team up here. I don't want to take too long because I know I don't want your turkey to burn. Your cornbread is in the oven right now. You came to church. I'm not Pharaoh. I will let God's people go. But the sign of a good, mature believer, it's right here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a mature believer. Okay. He says, give thanks only when it's good circumstances. Is that what it says? Give thanks when your bank account is full. You got that bonus check. Only. No. Give thanks in circumstances. Why'd you have to put that in there, Holy Ghost? Because there are circumstances where I don't want to give thanks. Let's be honest. I'll raise my hand. Okay. There are times I'm like, God, this is like, what? But the Bible says in all circumstances, give thanks. I want to bring your attention to the word in all. It didn't say to give thanks for all. Okay. Come on. The Bible's not saying, you know, if you've been laid off, you're like, thank you, God, I got laid off. No, you're like, this sucks. But God, I give you thanks anyway. Because my gratitude's not my situation, it's my revelation. I'm rooted in you, strengthened in my faith. I'm going to overflow with thankfulness. Amen. So I believe that God will allow us sometimes will allow us to get into circumstances that we don't want to thank God. But that's the time to show your maturity in Christ, because I'm rooted in Christ, and now I can show where my faith is. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, people ask me the question, hey, Pastor Josiah, I want to know the will of God for my life. What's the will of God? And they always have that look like they got punched in the stomach. I just want to know the will of God. Y'all ready for the will of God? Give thanks in all circumstances. I'll take the clap from over there. I got one clap way over there. Thank you. Thank you, sir or ma'am. I don't know who it was, but thank you. What's God's will for my life, Pastor? Give thanks in all circumstances. I don't like that one. Give me another one, Pastor.
Tell me I'm going to get promoted. Prophesize on me that I'm going to. No, I can't. I'm not going to say that. But what I am going to say is that you have an opportunity to be rooted in Christ, strengthening your faith, overflowing with thankfulness. And you have an opportunity to realize how good God is. And you can make it through there. Amen. Bow your head and let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for our church family. Thank you for what you're speaking to us. And I know that Christ, as we are rooted in you, I pray there be anyone in this room that, and I want to speak to it, and I don't want to belittle someone's situation, that tomorrow maybe he's going to walk into a situation where it's hard for them to be thankful. Maybe a family member's in a hospital room. Maybe a family member won't be at their Thanksgiving that they've been praying for. Maybe someone is still stuck on that substance abuse. Maybe they haven't really made amends with certain type of family members. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would just overflow with thankfulness. That we're not thankful for what has happened, but we're going to be thankful in all circumstances. That, Lord, you are good. And so, Holy Spirit, may we be a witness when we see our family. May we, Father, be established, and may we not fight the will of God for our lives, which is to give thanks in all circumstances. We thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray for those that are in abundance right now, for those that have gotten breakthrough this year, for those, God, that you've opened new doors, put new responsibilities, new babies born, fresh, a new spouse, God, a new relocation, a new job. I pray for those that have received the goodness of God, that they would make sure to thank God first for that. That we would not take pride that we were really smart or we somehow put together that deal or we somehow made it all happen. No, no, no. If it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't be where I am today. In Jesus' name. Come on, for the last 30 seconds, would you just worship God? Come on, worship team, take us there. Come on.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For more information about Freedom House Church, visit us at thefreedomhouse.org.